Welcome to the Smoke and Rope Podcast, the show that brings together Michigan's top cannabis growers, advocates, and business owners to offer a fresh and honest perspective of Michigan's cannabis industry. Stick with us to get the lowdown from the people who have been on the ground floor of cannabis business in Michigan and gain insights into where the industry may be heading. Hi, welcome to the fifth episode. I'm Ryan Baser, your host, and as always, we have Sam Brzezinski from Fresh Coast Extracts. Good morning, Sam. How's it going?
Good morning, Ryan.
Tom Beller from Real Leaf Solutions. How's your morning going, Tom?
A little hectic, but doing all right.
All right. And then Kevin Pipus with True Cannabis from a remote location. How's it going, Kevin? Thanks for joining us.
Good, Ryan. How you doing, buddy?
Good, good. Today we have Jeff Nemeth. He is the founder and EVP of ACT Laboratories, located out in Lansing, Michigan. They're all over the country as well. Thanks for being with us today, Jeff.
Thank you for the invite. I really appreciate it.
All right. Like we always do when we have guests on, I like to talk about their involvement in Michigan cannabis history. And for ACT Labs, they're just turning on the lights in Lansing in Michigan underneath the regulated market. But when I got out of prison in late 2015, I met Jeff and some of his crew. It was at a lunch with Jimmy. It was with Lowell, Jamie Lowell. And I remember you guys were super into legalizing, supporting it, wrote a check, and were getting from the get-go. Jeff's been really involved in Lansing and helping with the Lansing Guild, what's happened with the regulations in Lansing, also with the NPRA, Prop 1, am I legalized? And then, something that was really cool is we had a patient support group in Lansing in early 2016 that Jeff gave me the opportunity, and Jamie as well, to host. And we had a lot of great people there, the DJ Short, Don Ann, and a lot of different guests came in, and it was really helpful. A lot of people got medicine, and it was something really cool. So Jeff's also given me opportunities when I got out to do work, so I'm really appreciative. So these guys are somewhat new on the testing scene in Michigan in some people's eyes, but for people that have been around, Jeff's been here and he helped us get to where we are. So thank you, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity again.
Tell me what's going on. You were going to open up in Michigan, and then Michigan was taking its time, and you just decided to go work different states. You're in multiple states. Can you tell me about that, and how you're leading back and what's happening now?
Yeah, as we know, Michigan was going up and down on their testing regulations, and we saw an opportunity, and our first state was Illinois. We never left Michigan. We had our lab here and kind of used it as a foundation for method development and something that we do a little bit different. As we all know, we could grow. I was a caregiver at the time, so I kind of grew my own weed and grew it to science. And one thing that we saw when we were in the Illinois market, all these people really didn't have an understanding of testing and what does it mean to actually get a test result and how to read a test result. But then when you fail, what did you do to fix that problem? So even though Michigan was like the hardest state to get licensed in because of all the regulations and all the changing and all the games that were happening, it was a great opportunity for our company to grow to science. So during this time, as we were in Illinois, I converted my garden into the dirtiest garden in Michigan, I guarantee it. I infected with every kind of microbial, every kind of pesticides as it grew. Metals has been the last study that we've done. And, so we're kind of at ACT here is beyond the test, is our little saying. We test, but we know also how to get you going in the right direction. And when you have those problems, we know how to fix those solutions. So we went from Illinois. We were there for a year. We're still in Illinois. Then we went to Pennsylvania, have a lab opened up in Pennsylvania. And then Ohio came on. And then we made the decision to go to the great state of New York. We're the only qualified lab in that state because of the rules and regulations there are just crazier than any rules everywhere. But It's a actual research lab. And then we have a lab that's about to open in California, probably here scheduled for the 1st of September to 1st of October, right around that time. And then Massachusetts will be opened in November. So we'll have our big seven.
That's great. And then what about Michigan? What's happening with Michigan? There's been, as a lot of the guys on here can attest to, we've had a lot of issues. We're ready for more competition and for you to be open.
Yep. Actually, we have our medical license currently, and we just turned in our final packets yesterday to Dr. Cheerio at the state. She has to do her final review of the method development, and within 72 hours, she turns that around pretty fast, and we should be hopefully open to go mid next week to late next week for rec and medical.
That is that's great. That's great. It's exciting. Now we're on the show here with two owners of grows and a processor, and they've I know that I've gotten calls, especially when I was with the association, hearing about testing issues and problems and back and forth. So we got an expert like you on the phone on the show, and I wanted to open it up for Sam, Kevin, and Tom to shoot away and ask you questions about testing and what your thoughts are and how it's going to be different. So go ahead, guys, ask away.
I guess I could start here. Tom Beller here, Real Leaf Solutions. Excited to hear more labs opening that has been kind of a bottleneck issue. But you said that you are operational in several states, and Michigan just recently imposed action limits on both copper and nickel, right, to their testing for concentrates and just nickel for flour. And I was just wondering, what do you believe the thought process is? Are other states testing for these two metals?
There is other states testing for those two metals. I think, you know, in the state regulations, what we got to realize is it is new to them, and it is kind of a scary market for a regulator to be part of. For us who've been in the game for, you know, 8 years, 10 years now, but the regulators, you got to remember, they got both sides. They got a federal side coming down on them. They got a patient side screaming at them. And, you know, they want to make the safest product possible for the patients and their state. But over-regulation, too, kind of makes things hard to happen. I mean, so my thought is everybody wants to, one state comes with it, then another state's going to grasp to it. And then another state's going to set limits, and it's kind of like a cut and paste scenario, and they're not really realizing what they're asking. And even though that they're trying to prepare for FDA and EPA and trying to do a hybrid of both and try to come up with their own stuff, it's very difficult. Over-testing is something that we are a big advocate for not to happen. And with, you know, groups of different labs showing data and collecting data and experiments for the state to have, and going to those regulators and showing the scientific proof that limits are too low, limits are too high, or why are we even testing for this? You know, like I said, New York is probably the worst for us, where they even make us tell you what species of microbial that failed. And we're talking a test in New York almost takes 20 days from start to finish to get out. So sometimes here in Michigan, we think, oh, why this? You know, but we still can get those tests out in 4 days for you.
Sure. Sure. I was just wondering, yeah, that answers some things. It seems like we're the state is building a ship out at sea, you know, or the plane while we're flying, right? And the book hasn't been written, and we're writing it, so we're kind of feeling the pinch of when those pivots happen with testing, that things are going to come up. I know that copper, when they were talking about action limits of copper and flour, there was an alarm that almost all flour is going to fail for the action limit they were looking at. And yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting that as they decided at the last minute not to include copper as part of the flour test.
And I got to say, you know, I really think the state is listening here in Michigan. And as long as it's shown to them and proven, and I think the level of science has really upstated. I mean, I got to say that, you know, back in the day, I could open a lab in a weekend. I remember going to Illinois, setting up the equipment, validating it, and opened on Monday. And today, our average opening is about 5 months. And that's after the equipment. That doesn't include build out. That's just after the equipment's been set up. And the quality of science has risen in this space. You know, we can't hire people just coming out of college as a person to perform the tests. I'm hiring 30-year veteran, top of head of Gilead quality. You know, guys that have been in the business that are great mentors for our younger staff. But the science has really went up to the next level.
Yeah, definitely. I've noticed that. And you're right. The state does listen, you know. I mean, sometimes too slow to react in our minds. But in the grand scheme of things, Michigan has built a pretty nice program as far as I can tell, too. Thanks for your input.
Thank you for the question.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, this is Sam over at Fresh Coast. I wanted to dovetail on what Tom was talking about with the heavy metal testing. And I'm going to start off by touching base on what you had said is almost reactionary policy being set forth. We noticed it with Massachusetts, you know, a state that you had mentioned that you had operated within with lead testing in vape cartridges. And we noticed that the state had imposed, you know, new restrictions on vitamin E acetate and cartridges and it seems like industry's having a hard time keeping pace with that. And, you know, just to speak to the heavy metals about copper and nickel, we're noticing that in cartridges as we've been doing testing right now. With the new action limits imposed here after, was it July 1st, we're noticing that almost every cart that's out there right now is spiking to some degree. I mean, do you see this being a concern long term? I mean, are you noticing anything when you were doing your accreditations or your validations? Are you noticing anything in other states? I would appreciate if you can enlighten us here on the show.
Yeah, on cartridges, mostly in vape, we've done extensive studies. We get a lot of leaching off the cartridges. Believe it or not, it's done through through THCA being so high acidic and acid, it actually can leach off any metal residue in a cartridge, was our first findings. And then, of course, when people set other limits, other states are setting other limits for this, you know, we're diving down deeper from the processing process to, is it more cleaning up? Is it residual building up on your O-rings? And that's one thing that we're finding, is there a lot of buildup as we process. It might not see it in the flower. We might not see it. But when we process several batches, I think the processors really got to get down to looking at trying to run an SOP and a GMP good laboratory. I mean, they're tightening on the processing, not only in every step of the way from blast rooms in Michigan here to sprinkler systems, but on your own process. And I think if the state had it their way, you know, it would be ran in almost that, it would have to be a full-blown laboratory. And unfortunately, you know, scale is big. Production is a huge question in this industry, how much product can be blasted. But if you look at other states, look at Ohio's blast weight. You know, they can only do small batch runs. And it's really hard for them to keep the same homogenized batching. But I think with that being said, we see that we're not seeing those fails in Ohio when we're comparing. So I think there's something into setting up an SOP for a processor and understanding any kind of buildup in the columns and how to do back flushes into those columns is something that might help in those aspects. And that would be my recommendation to get. But we'll be definitely, Sam, if you have something, that's one thing that ACT always likes to do is partner with our growers and processors and kind of do experiments. And usually those, there's no cost, or we'll do a split cost with the person and to figure out that problem. Where is it coming from? Is it coming from the buildup? Is it coming right from the plant? Is it coming from a leaching episode from a cartridge? I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, it certainly does. And this is something that we've been basically digging our heels into for, the last couple of months now. You know, with our SOPs, we're also going for CGMP certifications as well. We're looking at ISO as well. We've got a PhD on staff who's helping us throughout that process, but you're absolutely right. Scale was a huge concern of ours. It's nice when you open up shop, you've got all this brand new equipment, but then you start looking at, you know, where are these problems going to occur? And you always go with the choke points. You know, what we started to do is we, you know, I guess for the last quarter, we've been doing a lot of SOP testing where we will isolate and do QC/QA testing at every step of the way. And what we're noticing is it comes down to applied materials being used in your processing facility. Obviously, deferred maintenance is something big. That's something we've always kept up on. But by and large, the things that we're seeing right now is cartridge manufacturing. It's the material that we're actually depositing the THCA in that high caustic terpene solution that we're seeing. And the testing standards that we've noticed is, especially for heavy metals, is it's such an acute process where we'll see spikes, even now if I'm, you know, in batch variability is just wildly all over the place, just because we're seeing even manufacturing particles. So how can we implement new solutions to our SOPs to continue to accommodate and stay ahead of changing regulations? So it's nice to know that there's partners in the space that are willing to team up with us, because we have to have our constituents' best interest in mind. This is a public welfare issue, and it's also an economic issue. So when you have public policy, meaning for, you know, I guess meeting economic theory and good business practices, it's a top priority for us. And so, you know, I was just curious, are you seeing this in other states? Are you seeing these standards being upheld, or what do you think the future for testing looks like in not just Michigan, but every state?
I think the standard's going to go full-blown FDA and go total pharma. So you're on the right path by, you know, preparing yourself for that, because that would be a recommendation for even growers, processors, is to start validating SOP growing, clean rooms, cleaning schedules. All that stuff is so important to document, because if it goes federally legal, and hopefully here soon it will, that's going to be the standard. If we look at the history of alcohol, and if you look at other histories, controlled substance of tobacco, what they actually go through, it's quite high. And, you know, we are calling this medicine for people. And that's our biggest people that we're competing against, is a big pharma. That how can you call something metal when medicine when it's just no regulations behind it, no validations behind it? And it's so nice to hear, Sam, that you are on that path, and I gave you great applause for that, because that's where you need to go, because I think it's going to get tougher and tougher.
A lot of people don't know. I just wanted to piggyback on what Ryan had said earlier. You've been around for a long time. Every time I went to some kind of state meeting or an organization meeting, I always saw you there. We've always worked together well. I'm glad to see that you guys are getting back online here in Michigan. That being said, you know, we've worked with several testing facilities throughout the state as the last year's rolled through. And it seems like there's been inconsistency issues across the board with all the testing facilities. I know that testing facilities use different methodology. And I just wanted to see if you could touch on that for me a little bit and kind of explain, you know, what it is that maybe the different testing facilities are doing differently, and then what it is that the state's doing, you know, to audit those companies. If we're seeing inconsistencies on our end from the testing facilities, what does the state do to validate those test results?
Well, the That's a great question. And I agree. I can guarantee you Ack's not going to be the highest player in town as far as THC numbers, but I'm going to be the guy who has the most repeatability and reliability in testing. One of the things that we do first, we got to look at ourselves at a laboratory. What do we do to protect our numbers? How do we protect our numbers and stand behind those numbers? And we have what we call an out-of-spec protocol. Once we sign up with a partner, we know what they're looking for. And if it falls out of spec, before we even call the customer, we are retesting to check ourselves. If that product then comes back at a different number, then we run that sample four more times to see if the repeatability of that test. And then if it holds, then we would change the test. So one thing that we see in states, it's you know, unfortunately, I'm going to call it a money grab. And the states have made these regulations harder and harder to make sure that they're actually having great science. And even then, we see problems that occur. So what ACT does, we like to be proactive about this, and we will find 2, 3, 4, 5 labs, 5, 6 labs, whoever, how many labs are in that state. We like to approach those labs and ask them to do round robin with us and blind proficiency testing with us. We also ask all our partners who do have HPLCs on staff, on site, to tie their HPLCs onto our methods. Our method is an open book. I have no problem. If somebody came and said, Jeff, show me your method for HPLC, you're more than welcome to come look at it. You can look at any of our methods as far as our service goes. But when we tie those machines in with multiple labs, we're already doing this in other states. We have a network of several HPLCs that are tied together. We can pick up an outlier really quick. And what I mean by an outlier, that one lab that maybe is doing maybe improper protocols, or maybe they're new to the game and they don't have sound science yet. We were there. We were, you know, figuring it out on a run, but now it's really tight. But we do offer these programs, and we can always turn that data into the state and show them that, hey, XYZ lab is always seeing a 30% flower. How is this possible? We did some blind proficiency tests and do it. You know, we ask our grower and processors to be part of it. We're like, hey, the proper way to do an homogenized blind sample between the labs is you've got to prepare it at your facility. Because you should homogenize that sample. Then you split it up into equal parts and then you send it out to the labs. And then it's important to share that data with those labs. A lot of people do that part. They do run their own test behind the scenes, but then they're like, they don't share that data that, hey, did you realize that you were 3 or 4 points higher than XYZ? We got to inform those labs and educate them to say, why is that? To look at themselves and say, hey, if you can't take ownership of your numbers and say, I might have something wrong, then get out of the business because you're putting people's health at risk. And, you know, to try to do great science every day and have an open mind and how to learn every day is our philosophy here at ACT. I don't know everything. I try to hire really smart people that know a lot, but every day we learn a new trick. We learn something new. So, but the only thing, it's really hard for the state regulators too to kind of go back. I really like Michigan here. Dr. Cheerio is involved heavily with the labs. And you know, it's nice to see that. Hope that answers your question there.
Yeah, yeah, it does, Jeff. And then I do have a follow-up question for you. And that being said, you know, I know you guys have been here for a long time. So in saying this, I'm not trying to take a dig, but you guys are coming to the game a little bit late now. There's four or five other labs up and going. Cultivators and processing facilities have settled in kind of with you know, someone that they've been testing with for a minute now. And so what would you say to those cultivators and those processors that you're soliciting for their business? You know, what makes you different, and what would be the reason for me to change and come over to ACT?
Well, like I said at the beginning of the show, there is, we are beyond the test. Have you found a laboratory that goes to you and says, helps you understand exactly what you're doing and understands the quality and how to raise your numbers by science and growing techniques and really kind of partnering with you? We're a lab that are not looking to have masses. I'd rather have a handful of great clients and great partners and grow with them than onesie twosies. I believe in patient advocacy as a laboratory. I believe in patient safety and trying to get the best quality medicine and product for the rec users and safe out there. When you run into a problem, I think ACT is willing to go the extra mile and be on your behalf and stand behind you, kind of like any CPA at an audit. I want to be there because I'm going to know your product. We get to know everybody's product that we test in our other states. And like I said, we have out of spec procedures. We catch ourselves, we check ourselves before we contact you. And we'll have the data to stand behind you if anything happens. You know, if something's there to give, we saw a high flower as a sample in a state, a really high flower. And we were like, hold on, something's wrong. And we did an OS procedure. It came out again of a high flower. It was still so high, I wanted to make sure it wasn't a one-off. And so I called the facility personally. I called the state. In this state, you're not allowed to do a retest to go back and resample. I called the state and got permission to go do a resampling of this product. And I talked to the vendor and said, hey, the reason why I want to do this is because people are going to say this test is bogus, that it's so out of high that it's not right. And I want to resample. And we set up a whole protocol of we're going to run it, how many duplicates we're going to run, how many scientists are going to do it. We set a whole protocol up and we built a packet for that client. So when they went and announced it, that they had the data behind the testing. And then, you know, when you run into problems, we're there to find that solution with you. If it comes out from micro swabbing is a huge benefit. We do that quarterly for our clients, our partnerships. We'll come out and swab your facilities, make sure you're keeping cleanliness before microbial hits. We have instant test results on that side also. There's tons of stuff, formulations. If you're trying to formulate new products, we partner with you and make sure we tie in your formulation for, you know, you're hitting that standard every time. So you don't have to worry about product testing. But I think the difference is just the relationships, our knowledge, and, you know, being an open book and being by your side as that testing lab that's beyond the test, that there's more there.
Yeah, and I can attest, Jeff, to everything you just said. I've worked with you for quite some time. You guys are very, very detailed in how you guys work. I'm super excited to have you guys coming on board and getting this thing rolling again. And looking forward to testing with you and working with you guys and being partners.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, Ryan here.
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, I wanted to ask you a question. It's something... you know, I've heard it mentioned a couple of times as far as, you know, THC numbers. Right now, the market in Michigan, especially rec, as I hear from my, you know, the buyers and the owners at the provisioning center level, unfortunately, a lot of the consumers are buying solely based on THC numbers, and You know, people, I mean, in cannabis know that it's that's just a little bit part of it. It's the overall cannabinoids and terpenes. And so far in Michigan, most of the testing places have been charging a bit extra, a little bit too much, in my opinion, to test for terpenes. And I'm excited for the education over the next 5-10 years of the public on terpenes and watch how that looks. But what's your plans on terpene testing, and how does that look price-wise?
Well, a lot of terpene tests. I'm a big advocate of cannabinoid profile and terpenes. I'll throw up any 17% THC with a 6% CBD and a heavy terpene with myrcene in it against anybody say that there's 28 is God. I think the high is a lot nicer and mellower and long lasting when you have those terpenes. And realistically, it's about how to have a quality of life and how to still function. I think terpenes is a huge learning. I would challenge any new user or any new patient to pay attention to terpene profiles and cannabinoid profiles. Try different products and try them with the knowledge of, you know, how you do it, how you intake, and really take notes. Because when you start really finding what cannabinoids and terpenes best fit for that you'll be saving a lot of money probably on that instead of buying that 29-30% flower that you're thinking you're getting. Terps, we're gonna have it here at ACT 100%. Pricing, we do a little bit different pricing. A lot of laboratories do what we call the state compliance bundle pricing. And Michigan has a lot of little different bundles. You have a flower bundle, you have a concentrate bundle, you have your edibles. Here at ACT, we do test more, save more. It's part of our partnership. And we have all the qualifying tests that are needed for those bundles, plus terpenes are added. And the more you test in that assay, the more you save. And there's discounts built in. And so you'll be able to save a lot of money by doing this process. We see in our other states when we implemented this pricing this year, it's brand new pricing for us, we were saving anywhere between $5,000 to $8,000 monthly for our clients, our partners, because the qualifying tests that they needed and what was most important to them. I feel terpenes is a huge test, and we can definitely make stronger adjustments or discounts for that terpenes because it's not a required test by the state. And we'll definitely work with people and our clients to have those terpenes there at the top of the list.
No, it's great. I'm excited for that and to really dig down into all the new genetics and, you know, stuff coming out and to look what's really in it. So with that, I wanted to wrap things up and let these guys, everyone, have some final thoughts or comments, and we'll get out of here. So Sam, anything you'd like to add?
No, just thanking Jeff for his time. You know, we'll certainly be talking again in the future as it relates to partnerships and exploring SOPs, product development, etc. It's nice to know that there's labs out there that are willing to, I guess, collaborate on pushing the new frontiers of the science. So I appreciate that offer. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Sam.
Tom, any final thoughts?
Just wanted to touch on really quick just the idea of, I don't know if you guys are aware of the increasing batch sizing that's happening in Michigan as they're phasing in over the next year up to 50 pounds for flower batches. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it 50 pounds is a large batch for science, and taking, you got to remember, the sample that we're actually putting through the machine are down into the half gram amounts. And the larger the batch, the more homogenization that we'll want to make sure we're doing. And I'm kind of concerned about it. the larger the batch size, is the testing going to be, should change with it a little bit? You know, mostly on the microbial side and the storage side. I'm okay with it, but I'm also would like to see some different protocols to maybe to change up the micro plan or how we're doing some different science with it. But right now there's no regulations coming on the lab side to make those changes.
Right. It seems like those are the reactionary changes are going to be coming afterwards. And you're right. It's not, it's less representative of the actual batch. The larger the batch size gets, that's pretty simple there. I mean, obviously that something that had to have come about by lobbyists from probably cultivators, I imagine, me being one of them, but I was unaware of this until recently. I was brought to my attention that we're going to be sampling out of 50-pound batches in a year. So I was curious to see how the testing side felt about that. But it was nice to talk to you. I really appreciate it. I look forward to working with you, and take care.
Well, thank you. The one thing I could leave you with too, though, as you prepare yourself with those 50-pound batches, just watch your moisture. I would recommend getting a moisture meter.
We meter our moisture daily on everything that's coming through, everything that's waiting to be trimmed, everything that's been trimmed. So we have a full-time burper flipper. And also SOP growing, I guess, if we can move the state kind of closer to less testing but more random testing and keeping your SOPs tried and true and proven in order to keep to prevent having to do excess testing. If you can prove that you can pass testing, and we've been really good here at Relief, use several labs throughout the state. I'm looking at some that just came in today, and you know, non-detects and stuff, and microbials, and it's great to see. And we have really strong SOPs, especially once COVID hit. We doubled down on our SOPs, and we were still passing testing before then. But it seems like even now, it's with COVID, we've doubled down on our cleanliness here, and it's really paying off. I mean, what do you think? Is there a future here for that type of situation where we don't have to test every single batch if we can prove that our SOPs are good enough to keep our products clean?
I think there, you know, those are studies that we could actually do and partner with and create data is something that I would be willing to do, because I hate to overtest too, because bottom line, I think every patient should get the best medicine they can, the safest medicine at a great price. And, you know, if we can partner with that and kind of see, we're doing stability life right now and shelf life studies. So that's something new at ACT that we've been doing. And, you know, it's seeing what the product can do. And if you have those idea, we'll definitely partner with you to see about, you know, maybe doing, there's a random testing where you do 3 of 5 batches, and we can definitely discuss that with you.
Yeah, sounds great. Let's talk about that.
Great.
Kevin, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Jeff again for being on the show today. But I also wanted to touch on another thing. We had Robin Schneider on the show last week, which is the executive director of the Michigan Cannabis Industry Association. I know that you guys do offer a discount for members. You want to touch on that for a second?
Yeah, for all members, I'm also sitting as one of the founders of that organization. We're giving an additional 5% off if you're a member. And you'll see on Test More, Save More, we're going to give, you know, starting discounts in the 20 to 30% off and actually grow with you. Because a lot of people are just getting, they don't have a lot of tests that are happening right now. So the Test More, Save More, they're not be able to take the full advantages of all the discounts. So we're starting people up in the 20, 25% mark. And then if you're a member, you get an additional 5% right off the top.
That's great. And I know you guys are planning on coming up for the summer conference next week. And I look forward to seeing you guys.
We'll see you then. Definitely.
Hey, Jeff, how can people get a hold of you? What's the best process if you're a grower or a processor out there, or even another tester that's coming on the scene and wants to, you know, work with you and, you know, in that spirit?
100%. You can call us right here at ACT Labs at 517-278-8000. 9333 or stop by 617 East Hazel Street. We're here Monday through Friday, and we'll be opening up weekends once we start testing. So it'll be a 7-day lab. And if you have any questions, you can also call myself. My cell phone is always open, 517-610-2632.
Well, that's great. I want to thank everyone for being on the show, and I can attest ACT Labs is in the spirit of what we believe with redemption and kind of what we're all doing as far as working together. And ACT has always been like that in the state. And so, like I said, if somebody's out there, new testing companies, I would look at ACT as an ally and not a competitor. And also, we're Redemption's working with put something together with ACT that we hope to be able to announce pretty soon, and for the foundation. And you know, thanks again, Jeff, for being on.
Hey, thank you very much, Ryan, and thanks for the opportunity. If anybody has ever a question, just give us a call, and we're an open book. Thank you so much.
Yep, you got it.
The Smoke and Rope Podcast is produced and hosted by me, Ryan Basor, the owner of Redemption Cannabis. Have ideas for episode topics or would like to be a guest on the show? Contact us at ryanb@redemptioncanada.com. Thanks for being along for the journey.